Hi, this is Stephanie Gunning. I'm called the Get a Book Deal Coach, and I'm here in New York, and we are very fortunate today to have with us a wonderful colleague of mine who I met in January out in California, and the more I've learned about her, the more interested I became in what she does as an expressive arts therapist and a life and business coach, as well as a professional marriage and family therapist, sort of two sides of the same thing. Sherry Collier, who runs Creative Path to Growth, works with play and using play the way that we played when we were kids to open up your creativity. And so I thought that I thought Sherry would be a phenomenal guest for my community and hers. So welcome, Sherry.
Thank you, Stephanie. It's great to be here.
I'm just going to go right on in. I think everybody's read your bio, and there is a button on the screen to your left. If you would like to push it and go to Sherry's website, you can get a you can get on her mailing list, and you can get an audio that she put together. So we begin with the most important question: why play?
Why not? Fun is serious business. And what I know from working many years as a therapist and an expressive arts therapist is that play truly does rejuvenate our mind-spirit-body connection and our connection with the earth as well. Play allows us to tap into neural networks that we used as children to explore, interact with, and enjoy our environment. Remember how we used to dig in the sand and play with leaves and just do all kinds of things that were spontaneous, and we could get fully present in the moment, and time would pass so quickly. Play makes it easier to be present and mindful, which does lower our blood pressure, releases endorphins, and it calms anxiety, which I think we all as adults have plenty of anxiety to spread around.
So could you talk for just a second about the neural networks? I hear a lot about using neurobiology to enhance creativity, and that fascinates me. What are these networks? I mean, are children learning by playing?
Absolutely. Children are really learning as they play. Their whole body, all their senses are taking in information from their environment. They're feeling textures. They're seeing colors. They're interacting with it, and all that stimulation comes into the brain, and they begin to form these neural networks, these patterns of firing in the brain. And then later on as adults, when we kind of go back into some of those same activities, it reawakens some of those same neural networks that we created as a child. So it's almost like a little time machine. It takes our brain straight back into that ability to connect with, to interact with, and to learn from our environment.
I love that. I picked up some paints not long ago, and I had forgotten how much I love to play with the colors. You know, it's totally different than writing. And I really did feel wonderful afterwards. So it has these biological effects. It literally calms us. That's quite astonishing.
Yes.
So you say that you reminded us that playing is also taking on characters.
Yes. If you go to, I think maybe the next slide, Stephanie, I'm not sure, but I have in there somewhere a picture of some boys. One of them is my boy, dressed up in Halloween costumes. But if you remember how as a child you just spontaneously put on costumes or dressed up and tried on different characters. As children, it comes very easy and very natural for us to try on different characters. So as adults, we can also do this. We can do it in very silly and wonderfully goofy ways of actually dressing up and going to a, you know, a Halloween party, or just having a group of friends over for a tea and everybody donning hats and putting their pinky up into the air when they drink. But they don't have to do goofy, silly things. Adults can also try on characteristics that they might not normally have. For example, if someone is extroverted and they're more outgoing, they're more talkative in their processing, if they would say to themselves, okay, today I'm going to try on the characteristic of being introverted. I'm going to try to process internally and see what that feels like. I'm going to try to keep a little bit more quiet and to myself and just see what that feels like, that new way of being. That also actually is a great workout for the brain. It'll get neurons firing along different pathways. So that's just kind of a little bit more about taking on characteristics as an adult.
I love it. I love it. And I just want to read this quote that you have here. Play keeps us vital and alive. It gives us an enthusiasm for life that is irreplaceable. Without it, life just doesn't taste good.
Mm-hmm.
Lucia, I can't pronounce this, cappuccini.
Yeah, I can't pronounce it either. Cappuccione.
It looks like I want to say cappuccino, but that's not correct. I'm
right.
So sorry. Cappuccione.
Yeah, that's
I think
about
that's
right.
A fair approximation. I love that it says taste.
Yes.
You know, yeah. It's like life tastes better when you play.
Yes. Yes. Again, the senses, you know, engaging all the senses.
So how can we use play to rejuvenate our creativity?
Let's have you go to the next slide, Stephanie.
I'm not sure if you're looking, but I am doing that already, so you don't need to
tell me.
Oh, are
you?
Yes.
Okay. I am watching, and I'm still seeing the old slide come up.
Interesting.
So there we go. I'm sorry. So can you ask me that again, Stephanie?
Yeah. How can we use play to rejuvenate our creativity?
Yes. First of all, your work, your business, and your life will absolutely grow and improve as a result of structuring play back into your life. I know that for many of us as adults, we tend to live in our heads. We have so many things that we have to do, that we have to get accomplished throughout the day. And life, I think, has gotten busier and busier for a lot of us. So this is where I really encourage folks to actually structure brief periods of play into your day. And I promise you, you will see your ideas and your ability to discover new resources, your motivation levels soar. Just, you know, within 3 days, if you were to do something morning, noon, and night, just a brief, it could be 5 minutes, of just taking some time out to play with your environment, and we'll talk more about those ideas.
I know, I can't wait to find out your definition of playing.
Yeah. Yeah, but it gets us back into the flow of our natural ability to tune in, to flow with, and to bask in creativity.
I love that. I love that idea of basking. It's,
mm-hmm.
it sounds like the sun is shining on my face.
Yes.
So fantastic. All right. Now I switch to the slide, which says play, visit nature, tune in, be present, and enjoy.
Yes, and I have that slide in there, Stephanie, because to me, in addition to being an expressive arts therapist, I'm also an ecotherapist, and using nature is just so important to having fun. That's where most of us had our fun as kids. And we'll talk more about specific ways to do that. But I loved this quote, too. And forget not that the earth delights to feel your bare feet and the winds long to play with your hair. Khalil Gibran, I'm not sure how
yes,
to pronounce that name either.
And who wrote The Prophet, which is wonderful.
Yeah.
And again, it's that sense of the sensory, this environment, you know.
Yes.
Really being present and using your body to feel.
Yes.
You know, I think that many people, you know, advocate things like meditation, and
mm-hmm.
some people use that as a way almost to escape their body.
Right.
But real presence is in the body.
In the body, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, we get so in our heads that when we take time to allow ourselves to feel through all our senses, it brings us back down into our whole body again, which is, that's what we need. We need all of us, not just our head.
So what is expressive arts?
Expressive arts. This is my heart's joy, expressive arts. It's one way to play. I found a quote that I just found absolutely fascinating in the book, The Artist Within, A Guide to Becoming Creatively Fit. Whitney, and I'm not sure how to pronounce her last name, Ferre, maybe? Anyway, this quote, it says, "Before there was a monetary system or a written language, there was art. As humans, we have been creating art longer than almost any other activity. Each of us has an innate desire and ability to express ourselves visually." And then she says, "Your artist within is an ancient voice that will help you to create the change you desire." So expressive arts is just that. It's all about using various art mediums to simply express yourself. It's not about the product. It's not about looking perfect. It's about expressing. And there's something about using shapes, color, paint, you know, chalk, anything that you have within your reach that kind of, again, brings you back into your body and allows you to express something deeper, something more innate than just talking.
There was an extraordinary film I saw last year, a documentary about these 40,000-year-old caves in France, which are the oldest cave drawings in the world that have been found. And what basically, I think this is called The Cave of Forgotten Dreams.
Oh.
And there was one of the paleoanthropologists who was allowed into the cave for a very brief stay. Said that because they painted the animals, and he said that these people would have interpreted very differently their connection to the world. So they would be around the fire, you know, flickering, and then they would paint the animals, and it would almost, you know, with, you know, earth colors, you know, different colors of clay and charcoal and whatever, and they had perspective and all these things, but they almost seem living.
Yeah.
And it really is ancient.
It's
very much a part of that kind of, like, you know, this is all around me. I need to express what I'm perceiving, you know.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's
I love that thing
that we have. Yeah.
So how do we get down into the nuts and bolts of expressive arts?
Well, there's many, many ways to express yourself through art. So just have fun with it. But one of the things that, you know, I tell people when I start to work with them is you might put a few different types of mediums out in front of you. Maybe grab some paints, some pastels. Maybe even find a lump of clay or some other similar medium. Grab a stack of magazines and some glue. Grab some cardboard boxes. And then just see which medium just seems to call out to you. If it feels like, oh, wow, I'm really interested in paint, then pick up the paints. If you feel like, no, paint doesn't do it for me today, then go for the clay or go for one of the other ones. But your body and your mind kind of naturally knows the way that it wants to express. So if you just trust that and pick the medium that most appeals to you, you're going to be able to express whatever your mind-body system needs to express at that moment using that particular medium.
So I'm just thinking about what you said a few minutes ago about taking 5 minutes to play. So here I am. I've been working all day, and I'm like, woohoo, it's my 5 minutes to express myself.
Yeah.
So what do you suggest I do in that 5 minutes?
that 5 minutes, obviously you can't get too sophisticated in 5 minutes, but you could ahead of time, so plan before the day starts, to have a few things in your reach. So okay. Maybe you have crayons on hand. Let's say that's all you have. That's fine. In your 5 minutes, grab your crayons, and let's suppose that you've just had a really hairy phone call with someone and you're feeling pretty ruffled. Take your crayons and pick a color that best suits your mood and just start to color something on the page. Just doodle it out there and think of it as a kind of a purging, an expressing of what just happened on that hairy phone call, for example.
You mean I can't just draw a picture of the person I was talking to with, you know, horns on them?
Sure. Sure you can. That's the beauty of expressive art. There's no right or wrong. You get to dictate. If you want to draw the person with horns, go for it.
or I know that obviously sometimes people have more than 5 minutes, so you could literally, what do you think, like set aside a half hour and then maybe do a vision board for a project or something? I mean, it could
yes,
be anything,
you
right?
Could,
I
you
mean,
could certainly do that. You could certainly set aside some time. In fact, I would just be extremely filled with joy if I knew that every person on the face of the earth was setting aside at least 30 minutes to devote to some sort of play where they're allowing themselves to express in new and different ways. I actually can take the folks on this call through a little bit of an idea of what they could do. That's I think on a slide. That's
oh, okay. I'm sorry. I'm jumping the gun here. But I'm so fascinated by the fact that it's very crafts-oriented in a way.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I mean, when I used to when I would get really overwhelmed with working, I would make bread.
Oh,
and what
yes.
I loved about it was kneading the dough.
Yes.
But I also always had this fantasy in my head about trying different ingredients, and every loaf of bread was a little bit different, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's perfect.
Yeah, it really got stuff out. And I noticed that you also say you could make an altar or a sand tray, and that makes me think of those little Zen gardens with the rakes.
Yes, yes,
Is that expressive arts?
Absolutely. You don't have to be formal about it. You could just clear off a little side table and create a little bit of an altar. And what you could do is just look around your environment or go outside, too, and if you have just 5 minutes to run outside and just select some objects from nature or from around you in your house that just, again, seem to capture your interest or they call out to you. And go ahead and arrange them on your little table, or if you do have a little tray of sand somewhere that you have a Zen garden, you could arrange them in the sand tray or however you wanted to do that. And you arrange them in a way that's pleasing to you and that makes you feel like you're expressing a little bit of your story of your day or of your hour. And you will find that you have projected parts or aspects of what's going on with you into those objects.
Ooh.
And it's a wonderful way to kind of begin to dialogue with yourself.
Sherry, are you there?
To actually, you know, kind of look at some of these objects that you've mm-hmm. chosen and imagine you're carrying on a conversation with that piece and learning from that piece. So that's a kind of another way of doing something that would be fairly quick. I think you might want to spend a little bit more than 5 minutes, maybe 10 minutes doing something like that.
And it's fun.
Yes.
So here are some gorgeous expressive drawings.
Oh, are they up now? Yeah, I'm not
yes.
seeing them just yet.
Express your heart.
Mm-hmm.
Allow your feelings to be expressed through color, texture, shapes, images, or symbols rather than just words. You'll tap both hemispheres of the brain, allowing for more integration to take place. Can you tell us a bit about the brain hemispheres?
Yes. When you are simply talking, you're mostly using the left hemisphere of your brain. Now, not completely, but when you're drawing or you're doodling or you're doing something that's more expressive in terms of an artful way, playful way. You're engaging the whole brain. You're allowing the left and the right hemispheres to talk back and forth to each other. And when you bilaterally stimulate the brain, that means going back and forth from left to right hemisphere, that allows you to integrate events from the day, events from the past week. And when you can integrate them all into the whole brain, you're going to be able to avoid kind of getting a stress response or a trauma response, even if some of the things you've been through have been very difficult. So this is another reason why expressing with art is very, very powerful, because it's engaging both sides of the brain.
So if I'm understanding you, it's almost like we have these two people inside us, one of which is very verbal and linear, and the other very kind of emotional and all over the place, you know, associative, and for us to feel good, they need to be in harmony in some way.
Yes, they need to be able to talk back and forth and communicate in a more whole way, and that's what the arts do for us.
I love it. I love it. Taking us beyond words.
Yes.
So you know that there are a number of writers who are listening to us right now.
Yeah.
Is, you know, I know that when I'm reading, I'm actually seeing pictures in my head.
Mm-hmm.
So even though the words are sort of the code to get me to the picture,
mm-hmm.
it's really the picture that matters to me.
Right. Right.
You know,
and when you're writing.
And this just jumps you right there.
Right.
So let's go deeper into that emotional aspect of expressing. So how do we use art to transform emotions? You've touched on that a little bit, but I think this is really significant.
Yeah, this is where it gets pretty powerful. So if you're, let's just take the example of if you're a writer, and you've been writing away at your book or your article or whatever you're writing that first part of your day, and you just kind of hit this spot where your brain just does not want to write anymore. You've hit some sort of a block. It can be pretty frustrating for some folks. Now, many of you out there are probably pretty seasoned at doing this, but I'm just going to actually take you through a little exercise that you could do to transform the emotion of frustration or the emotion of stuck or whatever emotion it is that's coming up for you in the moment. First, you would just get away from whatever it was that you were doing. So if you were writing, kind of move to another room where you're not around that. Choose a medium, so you could choose a paper and a cardboard or something upon which you're going to create, and then see if you have pastels or crayons or paints or something that calls to you, and kind of keep that nearby. And then you just want to close your eyes for a moment and get in tune with that negative emotion, that emotion that's bothering you in that moment. And then find out where it's settled in your body. So just kind of run a little body scan from the top of your head down to your toes and see if you notice any tightness, any pits in your stomach or lumps in your throat. You're noticing anything in your body, and you're just making a note of that. Then you would ask yourself, okay, so what color would this be? If I could express this tight, frustrated jaw, for example, if I could express it in a color, what color would it be? And then maybe the color black pops into your mind. What texture would it be? Oh, it'd be jagged. It'd be all over the place. And then you can let it spill out onto the page. So you just draw it however it needs to spill out. And I find that some people actually draw the body part. So if it's their jaw that's feeling the frustration, they might draw their jaw and then put black all around it. But other people want to draw it in the form of just a shape, or even an image or a symbol that just pops into their mind. So that's the expressive piece. Then once you've expressed, you've gotten that emotion from inside of you out onto the page or out onto the cardboard or whatever it is you're drawing on, Then you're going to close your eyes again, and you're going to imagine that you're breathing in the most soothing, beautiful color, and you're sending it to the parts of your body where that emotion had been. So in this example, it would be your jaw. So you would be imagining breathing in that beautiful color, sending it to the jaw and just letting it soothe and calm the jaw. And then allow yourself to receive some sort of healing imagery, whether, again, that's shapes or whether that's an actual symbol. And allow yourself to kind of open up to receive that healing image from source, from God or the divine or however you want to think about that. And just let it come in and soothe your spirit and picture it providing your whole body with just a sense of healing and calm. And then you open your eyes and you draw the healing image however you want. Again, there's no right or wrong way to do this. And what is so amazing, Stephanie, is usually when I have people do this, of course I'm sitting with them and I'm watching them go through this. I'll have them rate the negative emotion at the very, very beginning on a 0 to 10 scale. So they might say, oh, yeah, gosh, that frustration, it's right up there around an 8 or a 9. And then at the end of doing both the expressive and the healing drawings, I'll have them rate it again. And inevitably, it's come down. It's come down to maybe a 3, a 2, and in some cases, a 0.
Right. So it's really using the expression to take the time to tune into that nurturing side, you know, both to get out, to like spill out what is no longer wanted in your body, you know, that energy in some way, and then to just to remind yourself of this other possibility. That's
right.
Amazing. And,
right.
You know, it mirrors things that mirrors different techniques I've heard of from healers from all over the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, from Ayurvedic doctors from India have spoken to me about something similar that you do inside your mind, but you're doing it on paper.
Right.
I love that.
And I think the powerful piece about doing it out on paper is that you can also see, so you have that instant feedback for your brain of your two images. And how you've actually been able to transport yourself from that negative emotion into the more calmed, soothed emotion.
Right. I'm looking at the sample that you've provided of the expressive and the healing, and I see how the expressive image of the is sort of like squiggly lines, and it's all over the place. And the
right.
healing image of the sun is. It's just radiant, and it's just more of a unit. It's like more pulled
right.
together, you know.
Right, exactly. I think if I remember this correctly, the person that did this was just feeling a lot of chaos and overwhelm in the expressive image. So you can see that. You can see how it's coming out kind of chaotic and overwhelmed in terms of the color choices, in terms of how the lines go on the page. And then in her healing image, it's the soothing background of the blue sky and the bright warmth of the sun. That was her healing image that she received as we were doing the exercise.
It's reminiscent of a Van Gogh, you know. it's really with those lines and those colors. It also reminds me of a sunflower, which is one of my favorite flowers.
Yes. Yeah.
So what are some of the other ways to play that adults will enjoy?
Yeah, well, the other ways to play, the whole thing here is to keep it simple.
Mm.
And so I think one of my favorite ways to play is to get outside. And if you have 5 to 10 minutes to just walk out of your house, find a patch of grass, take your shoes off if it's not winter, and walk around on the grass. There is something very, very powerful about walking barefoot on grass, and it's not just about playing. I actually read an article, and I wish I had saved it, but I didn't, where they talked about how there was some research about walking barefoot on grass actually has physical benefits, and it has something to do with the molecules in the soil and in the grass that actually impart something to your feet, which then transports to your whole body. And I wish I could remember that article better, but I don't. So, but what I took away from that is that's something that kids love to do, is walk barefoot on grass. And if the goal here is to get playful and kind of give ourselves permission to get into our bodies and our senses, then what a easy and beautiful thing to do.
And you could also go play in a pile of leaves.
Yes.
And you could play in the snow.
And the
snow. Yeah.
Yes. Another quick thing you can do, I will do this. I'll go out into my yard. I'll find a container that's empty. I've got a gazillion of them. And I'll plant something. So if you have a seed that you have that you've purchased ahead of time, or if you have another little plant that you need to transplant, get your hands in the dirt. Again, when you put your hands in the dirt and you plant something, you're actually picking up beneficial bacteria from the soil, which is a very healing thing. But you're also engaging your senses, and you're doing something that you know is going to bear fruit at some point.
It's this full sense of creation that I love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The creating of a drawing of a nurturing symbol. It came from you in touch with your source, your inner energy. And when you plant something, it's tangible. I love that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and here's an easier one. You can put on some tunes and dance around.
Uh-huh.
That's real easy. And don't worry about what you look like. Just dance and throw your hands in the air and just have yourself a ball.
That's a really good antidote to writing at your desk, by the way.
Yeah, I'll bet you can relate to that one, huh, Stephanie? You love to dance.
I do.
Yeah. Yeah, the other one I have on the slide is simply going for a walk in nature and collecting leaves and twigs and stones. I talked about that earlier. So that's a wonderful way to play, is to just go out and kind of explore. It's your little miniature adventure, and you're picking out things that call to you. Another idea is to just pet your pet. So if you have a kitty cat, or if you have a dog, or some furry little creature around, actually petting them and talking to them in a funny voice. Just let yourself be a little goofy.
I have to tell you something funny about that. I have always had animals until recently. My most recent companion animal passed away last year in December, and I used to call her Boo Boo when I was talking to her. That was not her name, but I'd be like, ooh, Boo Boo, buh, 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 buh. And then one day I heard one of my neighbors talking to her cat who had gotten out in the hall, and she was going, hey, Boo Boo, come back. And I was like, are all the cats named Boo Boo?
Boo Boo. That's great. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the other one that I have on the slide, Stephanie, is to write a poem that doesn't make sense. So rather than using your brain to try to make it rhyme and have it make sense, just allow yourself to freestyle, write anything that just pops into your mind.
I like that. I like that a lot. I know, particularly when you're writing and you're trying to be all, coherent.
Yes.
Just picking some words that all have the letter Z in them would be a great antidote.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
So I think this is your son digging in the sand.
Yes, I think you're right. That is my youngest, and he's at Lake Michigan, and he's digging in the sand. And I chose that picture because, it just encapsulates what play is all about. It's just exploring and interacting with your environment in a way that's very carefree, a way that's very mindful. Of course, he's sticking his tongue out at us, I think, in this picture, but it's not afraid to get messy, not afraid to feel new textures. Kids will just dig holes for no particular reason, and I have written here, of course, that it's fun and it's a feast for the senses.
I love this idea of getting messy.
Yes.
That's very appealing to me.
Yes. We have to be so neat and tidy all the time. But it's good.
And this is where the permission comes in that mm-hmm. is really the title of this call because,
right.
you know, as adults, there are all kinds of rules that we adhere to. Some of them are rules other people make up for us, but some of them are just internal rules we adopt for no particular reason, you know.
Right.
You're
right.
supposed to do this, you're supposed to do that. Getting messy mm-hmm. is to color outside the lines. And
yep.
it that permissiveness is, you know, as a business person, you need to give yourself permission
yes.
to do something new. You know, I work with a lot of writers writing books, and sometimes I give them an assignment sometimes to go look at what else is out there, and they come back, and sometimes they're happy, and sometimes they're a little mopey, and they'll say, "Oh, Stephanie, I couldn't find anything like it." And I go, "That's great. That's because it's new."
yeah.
It means
yeah.
you've done something original. How exciting
yeah.
for you.
It's, wow.
You know,
that would be, yeah.
you know, and that's like, that's sort of what play does for me, you know?
Yeah.
So how can we give ourselves permission to expand our vision?
If we play, if we really, really give ourselves permission to play on a daily basis, it will just automatically help your life purpose to just kind of bubble up from within you. And once you kind of get back in touch, back in tune with your authentic self, your reason for being put on this planet with the gifts, the strengths, the talents, the ideas that you have, these things will just start to pour out of you and make themselves known to you as you play. Play reveals the dreams of your heart, your mind, and your soul. And I think our vision for our lives can only be expanded when we're letting the whole brain work together as opposed to staying so much in, oh, I have to do this and I have to earn money and I have to do this. And there's so many pressures that we all face, whether we're in business or have a career or writing for a living. There's just so many responsibilities that when we play, when we allow ourselves to get childlike again, it just opens up our vision again. It brings back into reality all that is possible.
Mm. I love that. So you talk a little bit about how it can help you see details and the big picture.
Mm-hmm.
Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Yes. So back in our example of kind of going out in nature and you're picking up little twigs or little stones or just anything that interests you, you are looking as an artist would at the leaf, for example, and you're seeing, it's very simple, it's just this one single little leaf, and then as you look at it and you see that it's, oh, it's bumpy and it's green, but there's hints of brown and there's hints of yellow and there's little veins, you're taking in more of the details. You're being very mindful and conscious of taking in the details. And then you're zooming back out to the big picture of all of life. You know, all of life is kind of mapped out on that little leaf. That leaf was when it was attached to the tree, you know, was living, was a living, breathing thing. And so I think that by forcing yourself to look at the little details of something as simple and yet complex as a leaf, you're also giving your brain permission to look at the bigger picture of life. And this all takes place more or less on a subconscious level. You hopefully raise it to a conscious level, but it's going to happen naturally if you're playing.
Mm. I think that my recollection of being a child, and every so often I've been able to tap into it as a grown person, is the awe that I feel. When
the genuine
appreciation
yeah.
for, like, you can't explain the universe. I mean, it is mm-hmm. so vast. It's just, you can't encompass it. It's just awe-inspiring. And,
right.
And then when you look at the little leaf and you think about a tree, I'm very
mm-hmm.
attracted to trees also.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
They're there year after year, and they grow, and the seasons change, and, you know, it just happens.
Right. Right, it does.
You know?
It produces joy in you. And I was just writing, as a matter of fact, a little article yesterday about the amygdala in the brain and how the amygdala is just a little tiny almond-shaped structure in the limbic system of the brain. And for being so tiny, it can be awfully powerful. When we get anxious, which most adults experience anxiety on a daily basis because of our responsibilities, the amygdala can kind of hijack your whole brain and make you have a really difficult time stabilizing your emotions. And one of the things that is the antidote to that is being mindful, being just present. Just being, you know, kind of tuning in and having almost like a play-by-play movie of your life happening right before your eyes. And how much easier that is to do when you're playing or you're messing around with arts or you're out in nature feeling a leaf. You're just naturally being mindful. It's not forced.
Oh, I love that. Now, you also talk about surprises.
Yes. Yes, and if you see in the slide here, there's a, I don't know what this little stuffed animal guy is, to tell you the truth, but one of my sons took this photograph on my camera, and it's a picture of a, I think he's like a club penguin guy, stuffed animal, and they lodged him between the trunks of, or branches of a tree, and took a picture, and I was going through my pictures, and I found this, and it was so unexpected and so hilarious that I just had to put it in the slideshow, because there's this wonderful quote by Carl Jung that I'll just go ahead and read right now. "The creation of something new is not accomplished by the intellect, but by the play instinct acting from inner necessity. The creative mind plays with the objects it loves." Mm. So, that again, kind of goes back to objects that you love. So things that you're drawn to it for a reason. And this was just kind of a cute little slide to show that when you're playing, things happen, little surprises happen, little unexpected objects come forth and demand your attention for some reason. And it, again, I think it just sparks new neural pathways in the brain and kind of gives some joy back to your day.
You know, it also, as a creative person who earns my living by creating, probably the worst state that I could be in is the state where everything is totally predictable and it's been done before.
Right, right.
I'm always seeking that moment, that sort of flash of genius or something that comes in and it literally does light me up with joy.
Mm-hmm.
And I go, oh my God, that's a great idea. I better write that down before I forget it. But when I give myself permission to spend time with it, what Jung says there is absolutely right. I play with it inside mm-hmm. myself and, you know, finding ways to share that with other people is quite extraordinary. So actually, I'm not sure which is more expressive, putting the little penguin in the tree or finding the penguin. Or, I mean, just first of all, that's a goofy idea, so that in itself must have been quite fun. But but finding the picture, you know,
yeah.
saying, oh, I'm going to take a photo of that, you
yeah.
know. Do some of the people that you work with use photography as a form of play?
I would say yes. Some that come to the expressive arts workshops definitely use photography. But quite often in the workshops, we're dealing primarily with things that I can't think of the right words to put it into place here, but we're dealing with textures and mediums and things that we can feel and make right there in the workshop. But
okay, yeah.
But collage certainly uses photography in ways that's incredibly meaningful, because you're choosing objects again, pictures of objects that are unexpected. Your eye might light on a picture of something that normally you wouldn't think of as being a good picture, but you're going to claim that and use that in your collage because it's expressing, it's saying something back to you. It's you're projecting part of yourself out there onto it, and you're claiming it back.
Right, right, which is sort of like what you did by including it here.
Right, right.
I love that little guy.
Yes, he's very cute.
So you're talking about your hopes for us. What is it that you hope we'll do with this information in our own lives?
I hope that everyone will find a way to incorporate some form of playfulness or play or expressive arts into their day. I hope that you've been inspired to bring it back into a prominent place in your life. And keeping a sketchbook or something that you can doodle in close by you for the morning. You could journal in the morning as well, just kind of letting words pour out of you that either make sense or don't. And then if you think about it in terms of structuring it in at least 3, maybe 4 times a day, that's your morning, is you're either drawing up a quick sketch or a doodle or journaling. Then at lunchtime, try to get out for just a quick jaunt outside. Or if you can't do that, then again, pick up something in your house or your environment and create a quick little altar or sand tray or, again, doodle. And then in the evening, I know this is a huge one for me, big confession here. I got into a terrible habit after the kids went to bed of turning on the TV and watching, you know, too many shows. And I think if we can all kind of get back to saying, okay, it's fine to watch a show here and there, but let's turn this thing off and let's get back into our senses. Let's get back into our imaginations and play. I think that if you were to do this morning, noon, and evening little dose of play in each day, in about 3 days, you would see wonderful effects of how play will just bring out more creativity. It'll spark more life. It'll lift your mood. It's just going to all around begin to provoke a pretty powerful shift in your mind.
You know, you're making me think of something. I always have this feeling that I'm more idiosyncratic than other people, but I actually don't believe that's true.
Yes.
But I know that I do weird little things in my own space, and I live alone, so I really have the permission to do that if I want to.
Uh-huh.
And so I'll, like, decorate, you know, in ways that entertain me or make me happy or what. So literally changing the physical shape of my environment is one of the ways that I play.
Yeah.
And so you know many more people than I do who you talk to in this intimate, expressive way. And I'm wondering, are all people really goofy and weird when they're alone?
Yes.
Yeah, we are.
They're all goofy. We're all goofy in our own ways, though. What's so funny to me, I just love learning about these different little goofy things that people do. And someone once told me that they just carry on an ongoing conversation with themselves in the car, at home when they're alone. They're just chatting away. And one day, of course, they were just chatting away to themselves in the car, and they looked up, and someone was looking at them like they were absolutely nuts. But, yeah, that's one little example. But I think we all have our ways. And I'm like you, Stephanie. I like to manipulate my environment. I like to actually put my hands on objects in my environment and move them around, make them more pleasing to the eye or to suit my tastes that day. But I think for other people, it might be completely different.
I know that I used to do ceremonies in this kind of Peruvian style, and one of the reasons I liked it is I'm very kinesthetic, and they lay out a blanket. This is something that was done by the Caro Indians, and they lay out a blanket, and then they use, like, the directions, and one direction is spirit, and one is mind, and one is emotions, and one is the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And then the center is the inner space is sort of, you know, And you literally use objects like they use totems of animals and stones and candles and things. And you literally are like, oh, I'm working in the mental sphere today.
Mm-hmm.
If I move this object, I have literally tangibly changed my reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's and that was so compelling to me when I was introduced to it that I actually created that kind of altar in my house.
Oh, good.
And I haven't worked with it a lot lately, but I do maintain this small table for that.
Oh, wonderful.
And whenever I'm invited to do any kind of sacred work with someone, I often bring those objects back and put them on that table. And the very fact that I'm saying it to you without makes me know I need to pay more attention to it. But I have I have a Buddha head on there. I have a jaguar on there. And I have a kind of a container to put wishes in.
Mm-hmm.
And then a tiny little drum that I painted myself with the leaves of a tree.
Oh,
and that's that comes from, it's a replica of a sort of way, way, way back in the Middle East in the area that's now Israel.
Mm-hmm.
There were ancient matriarchal cults of the goddess. And they have found all these tiny little drums that the priestesses used to play.
Hmm.
Yeah, and so it's a shaker, actually.
Yeah.
It has sand inside it, so you can make music with it and whatever.
Yeah.
So for me, that kind of play is also very expressive of the inner spirit.
Yes, yes. Very meaningful play.
I see we're about 10 minutes away. You have this wonderful picture of a collage. Would you like to describe what you were doing there?
Sure. It's not quite up yet, so I'll give it just a few seconds to come up.
I wonder if they come up like 15 seconds later for you.
Yeah, it must be that there's a little time, a little lag time.
Do you want me to
read
it?
Okay. Okay,
yeah.
I see what it is here. Yeah, this picture is just a photograph that I snapped of someone actually at one of my workshops, and she's kind of sorting through these pictures, and you can also see there's like a little bit of lace, and there were stickers, and there were just all kinds of little doodads for them to look through. But collage, I have this quote here. You are the artist. Your life is a canvas, and that canvas belongs to no one else. The key is taking control of your canvas, your corner of the universe.
Mm.
And what a beautiful way to do that than to collage. You're literally taking your little corner of the universe and expressing it. And usually with the kind of collage that we do in our workshops, it's usually what I call either vision cards or vision boards, which is we're making collage of the way we want our life to look like, either down the road a few weeks or years or however long they want to go out. So it's a way of kind of putting the pieces of themselves and their lives together in a very meaningful way to create a larger whole of what they're moving toward.
Mm, I love that. And I know you have a special offer for people on this call, and I just wanted to remind everybody about that before, because we're about 5 minutes away from the end, that you can opt in to get this audio, Envision Your Success, which Sherry has created, and that's available at creativepathtogrowth.com.
Yes.
And what is this discount that you're offering? You have creativity sessions.
Yes. So what I've created specifically for the participants today on this call or webinar is I've put together a little package of three sessions, which I'm calling Creative Transformations. And this is basically three sessions, and we can do it over the phone or via Skype, or if you live in the San Diego area, face-to-face. And whatever your challenge is that you're facing, whether it's something that's going on with your writing or something that's going on with your business or your career or your or just any aspect of life, and you're just feeling somehow stuck or blocked, in this 3 sessions, we'll move you from blocked to flowing again. And we'll actually make I'll actually assign you specific creative exercises to kind of get things flowing again. In addition to that, I'll incorporate goals and action steps and hold you accountable in those 3 sessions so that when you're done with your 3 sessions, you will have had some shifts take place to keep you moving forward towards success in whatever area.
That's a wonderful offer, and I'm going to include, when I send away around the replay link to people, I will include details of that offer. You're amazing, Sherry. I mean, I think this work that you're doing with people in your workshops and one-on-one is so special. I it's why I wanted to talk to you, because as I've gotten to know you and how warm and attentive you are as a listener, I can just imagine what it would be like to create art and talk to you about it, and just how much you would pick up and feed back. You know, it's quite a gift you have. So
I think we've
been really privileged to have you on this call. I'm just going to check real quick. We've got about, you know, a minute left. I'm not sure if anybody's typed in a question, but people know how to get hold of you at your website. This is just fascinating. Do you have any, you know, final thoughts you want to leave us with?
Just that it is such a privilege for me to be able to do this with people, to kind of, they allow me to enter into their world a little bit, and we get to create something together when we're working together. And I just want to thank you, Stephanie, too, for allowing me to come and talk about what I love to do, have fun and play with all of these people on this call today.
I wish everybody would go play and then send me an email and tell me what you did.
Yeah. Oh, I'd love to hear, too. I'd love to hear that. Yeah.
I hope everybody has been thoroughly inspired to go make a mud pie.
Yes.
So I will end there. We're just about a minute away from the hour. Thank you so very much, and thank you to all the listeners for being with us. And I was serious. I want to hear how you're playing. I think that would be phenomenal. You can also just, you know, if you push that button, you can go right to Sherry's website and have a look at, or go pick up your audio. I'm going to go do that myself. I haven't heard it yet.
Okay.
So thank you, everybody.
Thank
have
you.
A great day.
Yes.